Here we go again on a Monday, the 25th of October, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. For the past few weeks on this program, we've tried to deliver you the truth about Vernon Jones, the Democrat, supposedly turned Republican, trying to pose as the MAGA candidate to unseat Brian Kemp as governor in Georgia. We told you all about what Jones did as the chief executive officer of DeKalb County when he was elected back in the 2000s. How he vowed to create a, quote, darker administration by driving out white county employees and replacing them with black employees, even if the black employees were unqualified. We told you how Jones screamed at his parks director, Becky Kelly, so harshly that she thought he was about to physically attack her, then humiliated her by stripping away her authority, reassigning her, and trying to make her work out of a windowless storage room. We've told you how Jones described another white employee as, quote, a white bastard who's nothing more than a racist and needs to go. And we've told you how a federal judge was so appalled by what Vernon Jones did that he announced that if a jury had failed to find him guilty of racial discrimination, he would have thrown out the verdict. When we confronted Vernon Jones with all of this on this program, he called us liars and racists. But everything that we just told you is confirmed by multiple witnesses and by the courts. Oh, and here's another fun fact. It's not racism, but still pretty funny. While he was CEO of DeKalb County, Jones gave himself a five-man security detail costing the taxpayer $800,000 per year. That's Vernon Jones, the racist and wasteful CEO of DeKalb County. But there's another even darker side to Vernon Jones. Vernon Jones, the sexual predator. As it turns out, Vernon Jones has victimized many women throughout his life. But today we're going to focus on one case in particular from 2004. Late that year, Vernon Jones raped a woman during a party at his house. That case never went to trial, not because he was innocent, but because Vernon Jones's corrupt administration and corrupt police department successfully covered it up by intimidating the victim. And we know that because we interviewed a prosecutor who was there for the whole thing. Our executive producer, Lauren Witzke, tracked down and spoke with Angie Kingma, former senior deputy district attorney with the DeKalb County Sex Crimes Unit. In 2005, Kingma was brought in to help Jones's victim. We spoke with her for more than 30 minutes. Here's some of what she said.
When Vernon Jones's, and I, in my view, she was a victim. When Vernon Jones's, when she was victimized, one of the journalists contacted me and said that she was in a, basically in a fetal position, sobbing, and was afraid to go anywhere and do anything, and asked me, because I had been a victim advocate, if I would help her. And so I made contact with her and literally found her shaking under a blanket. She was in the back seat of my car. She was terrified that one of the local police would see her in my car and would stop the car. She was terrified of Vernon Jones. She was terrified of the police. And, you know, it's really, it was a known in DeKalb County how corrupt the leadership was. Both on the commissioner level, Mr. Jones was CEO at the time, in the sheriff's department, and, you know, in a number of other areas. After the incident, I guess while she was getting dressed, but bottom line is she came out of the bedroom and he was naked, sitting at the bottom of the steps with a shotgun, begging her, at first begging her, please don't tell, please don't tell, please don't, please don't tell. And she was, you know, completely rattled. I don't think she was in a place where she could say, okay, I won't tell, or yes, I will tell. I mean, she was absolutely traumatized. And after the begging didn't work, then he started threatening her. I will find you. I will find out where you live. And so he escalated And that's almost also indicative of a rapist's behavior. They will try to cover it up, and then when they can't do it,
they try to gaslight you.
They try to gaslight you.
Yeah.
With someone like Vernon Jones, he was incredibly powerful. He had, I don't think it was an accident that the police chief released the police report with my victim's name and address and phone number, which is the absolute no-no.
So she didn't want to, at first, name Vernon Jones.
She did not want to name him at all. She wanted to be checked out. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is she went to the hospital for a physical exam, and a hospital, like schools, are mandatory reporters. So the hospital did contact the police, and they sent a special nurse in to speak with her, and she absolutely did not want to disclose who it was. I mean, again, the fear, the publicity, the shame, she just wanted to be checked out. Then Vernon Jones's attorney, Dwight Thomas, went to the cameras, went to the journalists, and held up a police report, a hospital report, in which he said that she wanted to state who the assailant was, and that, you know, all she was really after was money, and it was just absolutely outrageous. And because she was my victim, she allowed me to get a copy of the medical records, and it had all over him that she did not want anybody to be involved. She was afraid of, Vernon Jones's connection with Eddie Long, who at the time was, leading a mega church, who later was, settled molestation cases.
So this pastor, Eddie Long, of this church, he was a bishop.
He was Bishop Eddie Long, correct.
He was Vernon Jones's bishop.
He was Vernon Jones's bishop. He was my victim's bishop. And he had an enormous church. And he was enormously powerful, and he was very well funded. He and Vernon and the police chief, Lewis Graham, obviously did everything they could to expose my victim, not as a rape victim, but as an opportunist who was trying to get money. And, based on my experience and based on my work with victims, I've got a victim lying on my couch in a fetal position sobbing. It's pretty powerful, and you can't fake that.
Oh no,
you absolutely can't fake that.
No,
and the fear that she had was just, I was concerned for her safety, because under Vernon Jones's term as CEO, there were two very unusual deaths. One was the county attorney who committed suicide. He had a lovely wife, lovely children, and many of us thought that he had somehow gotten sucked into this machine, and he was a good man. He couldn't take it. And then one of the commissioners, Lou Walker, who started questioning some of Vernon's doings in and outside the commission meetings, had a one car accident, which really could not be explained. I actually tried to get the autopsies, and I had connections and with the medical examiner's office, and they just said, look, Ange, we just can't give you these. When he decided to run for governor, I remember just putting down my head and thinking, God knows what's going to happen in that governor's mansion, that I used to drive by it, every week. So he's not a changed man. In my opinion, the very worst thing that could happen to Georgia is if he becomes the governor. I really hope that this gets to Mr. Trump. I, you know, there's lots of discussion that Vernon might get endorsed by Mr. Trump. And I feel strongly that if Mr. Trump knew the caliber of this guy, that he would not endorse him. People who do this sort of thing will do it again, particularly as they become more and more powerful.
Well, that interview gets really emotional and it goes very deep. If you'd like to watch it in its entirety, you can find it at stupeters.tv. And you already know the response that Vernon Jones and his defenders will make to this. They'll say this is just a vengeful or crazy woman making allegations long after the fact to hurt his political career, but that is emphatically untrue. These allegations are in fact 16 years old, and the victim herself, even now, has not come forward to speak out. She didn't even want to name her attacker when she went to the hospital. That's how frightened she was of Vernon Jones. And this isn't the end of things. Vernon Jones has more victims, a lot more. And we're doing everything that we can to find them. If you're a victim of Vernon Jones or know someone that who is, we want you to contact us. We would love to speak with you. Because as far as this program is concerned, stopping Vernon Jones from manipulating and exploiting the America First movement is a top priority. And you know what? If Vernon Jones had come clean and been honest when we had him on this show, we might have given him a second chance. Well, really his third or fourth or tenth chance. But hey, there have absolutely been horrible sinners who transformed into great sinners. And we pray every day. We would be overjoyed if Vernon Jones was one of them. But that's clearly not what's happening. Jones has continued to lie incessantly, repeatedly. He's covered up his racist nature by accusing us of racism. He has mastered the art of projection. And he's lying about his old sexual assaults while still trying to lure conservative activists back to his hotel rooms for sex, even as recently as earlier this year, in March. He hasn't evolved. He hasn't changed. This man is a sociopath, a predator, and an opportunist. And he thinks that he can treat the America First movement as a mark. He thinks that he can manipulate Christian voters in Georgia to put him in the governor's office. When in fact, we know that he views Christian people with nothing but contempt. He thinks that he can trick white people into backing him when in fact, he's a proud anti-white racist. We won't let this happen. Now, after our early reporting, Wendy Rogers retracted her endorsement of Vernon Jones. And now we call on General Michael Flynn to retract his endorsement as well. We call on all other Republicans who have endorsed him to do the same. And we'll continue to expose the truth about Vernon Jones until this threat has passed. Edward Zoll is the investigative reporter that tracked down that prosecutor. Vernon Jones sat naked at the bottom of a stairway, holding a shotgun, threatening the life of a young lady that he had just violated in the most unimaginable way. Where are we as a country, Edward, when a sociopathic sexual predator is being propped up on a ticket to primary an incumbent for a seat at the table as a governor?
We're all being victimized like that victim. We all have a shotgun pointed at us with a naked pedophile, rapist, killer, monster. You put the label on them. They're all doing that to us. And Vernon is doing it to the voters of Georgia right now. But Stu, where we're at right now is that our candidates are not moral. They're not good. Specifically in this case, we had a candidate who was willing to lie, grift, and to steal the nomination in Georgia by misrepresenting himself to the America First base as, again, a candidate who had the right skin color. Republicans say they're racist. So wait a minute, we have a candidate who's black now. What are this man's credentials? But I tell you this, the country right now is on the precipice of falling into an abyss. If we allow and continue to allow people like Vernon Jones to not only secure the nomination for something as important as a governor of a state in the South, but more so have us accept something that's happening right in front of us, a candidate who's a lie, a candidate who's living a lie. So if we don't stand up against candidates like this and individuals, this doesn't have to be someone running for office, but if we don't start standing against this immorality, then we're no better than the Democrats. We're no better than the devils and the demons who are trying to build a beast system around us.
Great word, beast system. That's exactly right. It's a uniparty beast system where the establishment machine can prop up a man like this, pour millions of dollars into a campaign to give us a sexual predator, a sociopath, a liar, an anti-white racist parasite who views Christianity with nothing but contempt and incessantly lies. The corruption, the filth, the threats, the violence. It's appalling. Edward Zoll, great work as always. Safe travels. Thank you.
Thank you, Stu.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow, towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with the nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. This is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work.
The new MyPillow towels are exclusively made with 100% USA combed cotton with proprietary technology and with maximum absorbency. They dry you faster and are guaranteed to work.
I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow. And to thank you for all your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you get my dog beds for as low as $19.99. Or for a limited time, you can get my six-piece towel sets, regularly $109.99, now only $39.99. The lowest price ever with your promo code.
Well, the Democratic Party is desperate to enshrine January 6th as some kind of an attack on America on par with Pearl Harbor or 9/11. It's an absurd lie. Actually, wait, it's not. It's just the attack on America goes the other way. The Biden junta has used January 6th as an excuse to launch a nationwide manhunt and arrest dozens of people. They've arrested people who walked unarmed around the Capitol, ushered by so-called police officers through hallways and accused them of insurrection. They've held people for months on end, oftentimes in solitary confinement. They've hit them with grossly inflated charges, held dozens of years over the heads of patriots for misdemeanors. They've smeared patriots as violent cop killers, all based on a lie. But despite the press's best efforts, the pushback is happening and the truth will come out. David Summerall is helping that. He founded StopHate.com. And he's created a new documentary called Writing History to debunk the left's insurrection lies. He joins us now. So there are thousands of hours of tape out there, not made available to the public, but you have documented all kinds of things that the public has not yet been aware of. The media has been refusing to widely broadcast what you have. We're not fearful. We will do it. What should the public know about January 6th?
Well, thanks, Stu, for having me, first of all. Listen, the thing people need to know, there were four deaths. They were not natural causes. We know Ashley Babbitt was shot. She was executed. We see the video of that. That's been out. We're seeing now more and more because we're pushing the story about Roseanne Boylan. More and more people are seeing that she did not die from a drug overdose. She was beaten by police and trampled to death by their force. We're seeing more and more. We know that Kevin Greeson, per Lauren Witzke, was killed basically with a concussion grenade, had a heart attack. They would not let people, you know, get medical attention for him, did not render aid in time. He died. And then the fourth or fifth death is that of Benjamin Phillips. And they say it was natural causes, but we have another man being pushed off a wall, fell three stories to his death, we think. But you can't get medical information. You can't get reports. They will not turn loose any information. There, this big cover-up of death and murder, all they want to say is we broke some glass. We were violent when the Capitol Police actually killed four people.
And is it really been proven that it was Trump supporting patriots that broke that glass? I mean, I've seen video of what appear to be well-trained ninjas in black masks and all black apparel coming through there. I mean, these look like insurgents trained by some military force.
Well, they absolutely are. And look, there's actors, there's agents, there's provocateurs, there's FBI guys. We've got pictures of the FBI there. There are 30 agents. You know, they work with their little other people that are in the crowd. Why are there that many FBI agents there in the first place?
Well, I think we know why. I mean, I think that this entire thing was an absolute setup. It blows my mind that the media is able to get away with this and that nobody is recognizing this for what it actually is. So how would you actually classify January 6th?
Well, it's the funny thing. Like Merrick Garland the other day wouldn't admit that FBI was even there. You know, we've got Christopher Wray lying, saying there was no Antifa involvement. We've got video of all this. We, you know, our video shows every bit of that from Ray Epps, whoever they say is maybe an unindicted co-conspirator. But we put the names of the people that broke the glass. We had a hearing. They said, we don't even have the name of the people that broke the glass. Yes, we do. We posted it. We're doing research. Why are we more in the know than our politicians? Or are we, are they all just playing games at our expense and torturing our patriot citizens for their political gain?
How many Republican, you know, representatives, so-called elected representatives, sit in positions of power in the United States Congress, in the United States Senate, that have the very same information that you have, and they're sitting on it, claiming to be so-called fighting for the patriots that are jailed? What, tapping on the glass at the jail, taking a few selfies, putting a big donate here button at the bottom of it? The whole thing is a sham, and it appears to be that everybody's in on it.
They all are, Stu, and this is what I'm here to tell you. It's the Uniparty. We've never seen the left and the right work together in such perfect harmony against us, we the people, and that's exactly what's happened to these people. They are the original auditors. They went to audit the election and say, this is not right. Look what they're making examples. The government's trying to make examples of these people and scare people not into being active, not go to protest, not go in the street. Shut up if you don't agree with us, and your vote doesn't count.
Your vote doesn't count. You will wear that mask. You will take that injection or a series of them, a lifetime subscription of them. You will bring your kids to the door so that the police and some sworn healthcare official can inoculate them as well with this thing that has been proven to be dangerous, in many cases deadly, is experiencing all kinds of trauma in boys 12 to 17. They're now approving this thing for ages 5 to 11. We have no evidence to suggest that these things will not affect that age group of children as well. But if you should rise up, if you should go to a school board meeting, you could be classified as a so-called insurrectionist or a domestic terrorist. January 6th was not the insurrection. The insurrection happened on November 4th, between November 3rd and November 4th. Am I overstating this?
No, you are not. You completely are on the money here, Stu. Here's the thing. Who's going to protect us? Who's going to defend us? Who's going to represent us? It's us. They don't. You know, you have groups like the Proud Boys that go to these rallies and functions to defend against Antifa that doesn't exist. These are all just narratives to force control and to force. So the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, these are not bad terroristic groups, but they are painted that way because they don't want the people to be protected so they can have their control, push their vax, do their thing. And it's all about that. And people need to really wake up on both sides. This is not a political issue anymore. It's good versus evil. And they're coming for our kids. We have to do something. Listen, no one's representing or protecting us. We started our own Department of Defense on Stop Hate for these prisoners, for fundraisers. We go to stophate.com/J6. All the information about January 6th, reports, videos, truth that offsets the New York Times piece, the HBO piece. All the truth is there, people. It's up to us to get up and share it with everyone so we can all know what's going on.
They're propping up candidates. They're putting millions of dollars behind these people. They're calling them conservative Republicans. They're everything but that. This government is of, by, and for the people. The Constitution of the United States of America has been a beacon of light and freedom for the entire world for 200 years.
Yes.
The Declaration of Independence is one of the most important documents ever written, ever. We are supposed to elect people who will truly represent us as constituents because, as a matter of fact, we are the government. We don't wait on these people up in Washington. And, you know, I'm tired of these grifters, and we're going to name them by name. How about Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Sure.
Impeach President Biden. Well, hold on a second. 6 months ago, you said he wasn't the president. But you go kick your feet up on Steve Bannon's desk all day long, who doesn't push you or challenge you on any of that, as your rhetoric changes, but the donate here button remains. And
I
then
see
she
that
says,
everywhere.
Well, I've done everything that I can do. Well, if you've done everything that you can do, then get the hell out of there and let me elect somebody who will keep pushing and keep fighting for forensic audits in every single state. You're from Georgia, but you are a United States representative. You represent all of us. You should be going to every single state, fighting for audits in every single state, fixing 2020.
Well, not only that, fight for the J6ers. I mean, this is the thing. who is going to fight for them? And they say,
but
oh,
David, what I'm trying to say here is everything that we've talked about, the Marxist coup, the insurrection that took place on the 3rd and 4th, the medical tyranny, the stripping away of our freedom, the indoctrination of transgender acceptance, this critical race theory, racist poison that's being shoved down our, all of it is fixed if we fix 2020. If we fix what happened on November 3rd of 2020, everything else, including January 6th, all comes to light and it all goes away. It's all fixed. I got about a minute left here. I'm going to give you the final words.
No, I totally agree. Listen, we have to arm ourselves with the truth and we have to fight like it's our last day because it is. These people are trying to take over everything we have, everything we own. They don't work for us. We have to take it back. It's not a violent overthrow of the government. It's the people taking back what's theirs and doing what's right. This is the opportunity that we have to do good. That's what freedom's all about, Stu. You talk about it all the time. It's not to do bad and be an evil pinhead like these people and do this dominance and control thing. Just go to stophate.com, check out the documentary, share it with your friends. They're censoring the heck out of it. So all the help we can get, man, we appreciate it. And Stu, thank you for all you do, man. I know that it's a thankless job. A lot of times you work very hard to get this truth out to people. And I can't thank you enough on behalf of a lot of people that watch your stuff, man. So I appreciate you letting me be here and share this message.
In times like this, David, I cannot imagine doing anything else with my time.
I agree.
I'm happy to be here and be a soldier right alongside soldiers like you. We are in a war. We are absolutely in a war. StopHate.com/J6. We're going to put it all over Telegram, everywhere that we have social media. Make people aware of this stuff. Spread the truth throughout the entire world. There are people in foreign countries that are protesting our election here more fervently than Americans are. What does that say about where we are? We are fighting a decades-long propaganda mission by this media and by these globalists who call themselves representative of you, and they are anything but that. David Summerall, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. God bless you.
All of these people that you see on your TV parading themselves around, presenting themselves as representatives of an American constituency are anything but that. Give me a break. The gig is up. This is a uniparty system. For the most part, everybody in our government right now is part of an establishment machine. They're all globalists. They've been raping you for decades. The hardworking, middle-class, blue-collar flyover American has been raped by these people since probably Reagan, I think, was the last time we probably had a fair and open and honest election, if that one even was. It's disgusting. We need to take our government back, and these people do need to be called out by name. I don't care what programs they operate on or go be a part of. I don't care about ratings and who's popular and who's presented themselves as this or that. They're liars, every one of them. And it's a pastime that we shine a big bright light into the crevices of darkness where these globalists have been hanging out, doing their dirt and their criminal activity, raping you. I don't care if you're a liberal Democrat or a conservative Republican. They're all the same. They all represent the same machine, and it's robbing you of your individual liberties, your rights, your freedom, and your money. The future of your kids depends on us taking our government back. Go to steponsocks.com right now. They're a proud sponsor here, and we're proud to have them. These are patriots. Their socks are all designed by patriots. All cotton socks. You get a 3-pack for just $17.76. And on the bottom of them, these are brilliant. These things are absolutely brilliant. They start conversations. They red pill people, and they give you a sense of satisfaction as you can walk around stepping on these snakes. Who would like to step on some snakes with me? Go to steponsocks.com. The classic version, for example, has Obama, Clinton, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi, and Biden on the bottom. There are Whitmer versions available, Cuomo, Pence, soon coming a Vernon Jones edition, I would imagine. My favorite is the Trust in God sock. Here's mine. Here's the white pair. It's got the cross proudly displayed there. Trust in God, it says there. You can step on sin all day long. You get a white pair, a red pair, and a blue pair. I'm wearing the blue pair right now. I got cowboy boots on. I'm not going to prove it today. Go to steponsocks.com. Find your sock. Find silver at steponsocks.com, Second Amendment flags, and more. Go to steponsocks.com. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters at steponsocks.com. Well, the Arizona audit is complete, and a lot of people thought that audit showed more than enough evidence to justify decertifying Arizona's 2020 election results. So why hasn't that happened? And even if they're not decertifying the last election, since Republicans control the Arizona legislature and governor's mansion, what are they actually doing to make sure the next election is beyond all doubt? Karen Fan is the president of the Arizona Senate. She's the person who originally requested the Maricopa County audit. hopefully she can answer some of these questions for us. And she joins us now. President Phan, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. Glad to be here.
So there's a video circulating around online. I'm sure you've seen it. Karen Phan signed a backdoor, backroom deal. She knew we would never get the Splunk logs. She knew that we'd never get the routers. To this video, what say you?
That's totally false information, and it's a ridiculous. So I'll be glad to explain it to those that really want to hear the truth. We have been fighting to get the Splunk logs and the router since day one. Maricopa County, along with this very liberal judge that has ruled against us the last four times, have stated they will never, never turn these two items over to the auditors. The week before our report was done on September 24th, they came to me and said, would you consider a settlement on these routers and these Splunk logs with respect to what we call the 1487? Senator Borelli filed a 1487, and in Arizona, what that means is if you do not comply with state laws, we have the authority to withhold their state revenues, state shared revenues, which can be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And so that's what prompted them to finally come to the table and say, we will offer a compromise on this. We are going to hire a special master. It's going to be past Congressman John Shattuck, who is a Republican, who is a conservative, and he will have the authority to hire a couple of independent IT firms that will get all of the information that our auditors need off of those Splunk logs and routers. It was not behind closed doors. It is public document. Everybody can see it. And that's the path we're going forward. Now, my attorney, I was very sure before we signed it that what if they do not comply again, they start playing games. Have we lost any of our ability or rights to be able to go after them? And he said, you have every single right that you had before that you have now. And as a matter of fact, you'll stand in a stronger position because we know that they were going to go to the courts and say they should not have these at all. And this liberal judge was probably going to side with them. So now we have taken that extra step that if they play any games again, we can go back and start all over, which, when I say start over, it means immediately I will file a subpoena and refile the 1487 on them.
So how likely is America, Arizona, how likely are we to see what's really going on and actually see? I mean, we've seen forward action. We've seen the audit. It's complete. We've seen undisputable evidence of fraud in this 2020 presidential and down ballot elections. We've seen the canvassing numbers from Liz Harris. We've seen the trending information from Captain Seth Keschel. We've seen a lot of things that prove that Arizona is a fraud, and most likely other swing states. We don't need to name them for the sake of time, but you know where they are, and so does the rest of America. So how likely are we to see a decertification? What's next? What are we going to do with all of this information?
Okay, so first and foremost, let me tell you that the audit itself is not 100% complete because some of that is incomplete because we didn't have the information for the routers and Splunk logs. We still have a couple of subcontractors who deal with kinematic and signature verification that are still finishing up some work because they are waiting for some additional information. If anybody watched the congressional hearing a couple of weeks ago, Congressman Biggs got the Board of Supervisor under sworn statement on national TV to admit they did delete files the day before they turned the machines and the records over to us. And they did admit that they have purposely withheld and hidden those from us. So we are waiting to get those files as well. Now, on the bigger picture, we have turned everything over to Attorney General Mark Brnovich. As people know, according to our Constitution, the legislative bodies, we set policy, we pass laws, we make sure those laws are working, we pass new laws to make sure if they're not working and update time. It is the Attorney General's job is to enforce those laws. And so we know that a lot of the laws were broken. We know that we can't even actually verify for sure what the tallies were because of a lack of chain of evidence, duplicate ballots that were problems, missing information that's been withheld from us. So it's difficult for us at this point to say, yeah, you know, it's exactly right. All we can say is if we counted the ballots, the way Maricopa counted them, we come out closely. The question is that were those ballots valid ballots to be counted to begin with?
So Mark Brnovich basically, and I may be paraphrasing here, but basically just told the nation, just take their word for it when referring to the Board of Supervisors. So how much confidence do you have in Attorney General Brnovich?
I have 100% confidence. So at the very, very beginning, yes, he and the governor and a number of others said, yeah, we think this election was fine. But that's before we started doing this audit. Now we have found it's not fine. We've found that there were a lot of laws broken. And how, if any, does that affect with the outcome of those votes? He has already opened up an investigation. He is already gathering all of this information to do his own verification. He has the grand jury at his back. He doesn't have to worry about the Department of Justice threatening him the way they've threatened the Senate, not allowing us to do the canvassing ourselves. So, yeah, he is actively and following this up, and he has said he will get to the bottom of the answers to verify everything and hold people accountable.
What is the legal mechanism for rectification if Arizona does move to decertify? And I mean, then what happens? I mean, this is unprecedented. This is uncharted waters. I have no idea what happens here. Do you?
You're exactly right. We don't. That's the difficult. It's never happened before. It's uncharted. There's nothing in our Constitution that outlines what we do. So what I have been telling everything is, you know, you can't decertify until you can verify that something, and usually that is through a court, right? You know, just because one person stands up and says, or half a dozen people say, we don't think this is right, I'm not going to get enough votes to decertify anything to even move that next step. So the first step is having Attorney General Brnovich verify everything so that we can get either criminal indictments or findings of fact that what everything the auditor came up with is true and correct. And so the court can order. And then at that point, we'll have this ability to say, okay, what is our next steps? Can we decertify, or is it decertification, or do we call the entire election null and void? We don't know. So we're just taking this one step at a time as we move down this progress.
So if the entire election, let's just take your last example as a possibility, the entire election is null and void. Obviously, you can only speak for Arizona. Would then other states have to go, well, hold on a minute, the entire electoral count is now wrong. Would that kind of invoke a constitutional crisis? I mean, would the U.S. House of Representatives have to convene and try to work this out on a federal level?
Well, I'm not a constitutional attorney, nor an attorney at all, but what my guess would be
likewise,
that even if we decertified, we had the ability and the votes to do that, we would only be decertifying our electors in Arizona. And just us alone is not enough to affect the national race. So if we find problems with the machines that were used or anything else, then the other states need to do the same thing to verify their own elections. If their elections were all fine and well and no problems, then you know what? Maybe Arizona is the only state that had serious problems. But if they did find the same problems we did, if they can prove in a court of law that their vote counts were not correct, then they would go through that same option as well as how do we handle that in their state.
But we're not going to get that if we don't have people that have the backbone that you do. And there are, I mean, you have fought and you have led this thing honorably. You have stood by your constituency there in Arizona like an elected representative is supposed to do, you among others. You have plenty of heroes there in Arizona showing the rest of this country exactly what it is, the hell that needs to be done. And so I know that I'm not breaking news here, but what you said about Arizona being an anomaly, I think is we're well past that. And so there's plenty of data to suggest that these other states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, that these places specifically need to be looked into. But even states where the president won handily, for example, Florida, they use the same internet-connected machines in that state. And if there's a problem with that, then this is a nationwide issue. I've got about a minute left here. I want to give you the final words.
Thanks, Stu. I just want to say, please, everybody, remember, this is about election integrity, nothing else. This is about making sure your vote counted, only our legal votes counted, and our system is working and people are following the laws. That has never been about anything other than that, other than election integrity. And we are going to watch every single race, every single vote from now on, so that we don't have any more problems, we hope.
I believe that you will. President Karen Phan, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Stu.
The entire media has covered this up. They're complicit in this Marxist coup. They're part of it. Not just the mainstream media, so-called conservative cable news outlets, alternative media outlets, have completely ignored what's happening in Arizona. Only to mention county auditors, every once in a while framing them as kooky, crazy conspiracy theorists. But we'll not show you the video of Congressman Biggs standing right there, getting them to admit that, yes, we deleted this information, but we only deleted it to make room for future elections. Oh, really? Really? If that's the case, then why is there still old previous election data here? Why is there really old historical information here? They couldn't answer that. Oh, but don't worry. It's all been backed up. It's all been archived. Oh, well, did you turn over the backed up archived data? No, we didn't. Why? Well, because we weren't subpoenaed for backed up archive data, really. We need to police these people. Speaking of police, get over to vaccine-police.com right now. That's Christopher Key, and he is policing all of these tyrants that are pushing these shots now soon on your 5 to 11-year-olds. He's video documenting everything that he does. You're going to love it. Get over to vaccine-police.com. He is putting up billboards in major metropolitan areas, bringing awareness to these kill shots. So much so that even local media people are having to report on the presence of the billboards because they're being flooded with phone calls. What is this? What's going on? Because the media is hiding all of the real data regarding these shots being falsely referred to as approved vaccines. They're not approved and they're not vaccines. Get over to vaccine-police.com. I support this guy and I hope you will too. He's confronting hospital administrators, big pharma CEOs, pharmacists serving Nuremberg notifications all over the place. Go to vaccine-police.com and support Christopher Key. Again, vaccine-police.com. Well, if you were paying attention to social media over the weekend, first of all, my condolences, but you may have noticed that Arrest Fauci was trending on social media. Joining us now is Dr. Jane Ruby to talk about all of the reasons why Fauci should be arrested. Do we have hours to go through every reason? How about the most important reasons why Fauci should be arrested on this Monday?
Yeah, absolutely, Stu. He's coming after children. And I've been saying this for weeks, in fact, several months. But as we've seen, today is going to be a red letter day for Dr. Fauci because the FDA is meeting to rubber stamp Pfizer's data. I say these things, you know, with quotes around them. You know, they're going to rubber stamp it. It's Groundhog Day all over again. They are going to have their briefing. Their review of Pfizer's data on the 5 to 11-year-olds, which, by the way, was a total sham. And let me tell you, Stu, their briefing document starts out with lie after lie. And anyone can get a copy of this briefing document. It's actually been out for over a week or so. I turn your attention to section 2.1, and where it states that there is an unmet need for children 5 to 11. Lie. Number two, 2.2 section, pediatric cases have surged. Lie. Where are they getting this? They're pure, outright lies. The next section, 2.3, that this vaccine may decrease the transmission. Now, they also come out and say on other platforms that it doesn't decrease the transmission. You can still get it and you can still spread it, which makes no sense in getting it. So decreasing transmission is another lie. I ask people to go to the web and look up the briefing document. It's number 153409. That will immediately bring up the document for you. They also say in section 2.4, and again, they're going to be discussing this today, and the FDA is going to rubber stamp it, and then the CDC is going to recommend it. And then you know what happens next? Employers will require your children to be vaccinated at home so that you can go to work. I mean, the absurdity will continue. And the next age group in pharma drug development is 6 months to 11 to 10 or 11 years old. They go on to say in section 2.4 that this vaccine, and Stu, this is almost laughable, will restore, quote, safe and effective learning environments in school. Are you kidding me? Where is there evidence or proof that there is a danger in schools? There's no surge in schools. There's no increase in illnesses for any kind of flu for children. So Fauci's continuing his death and destruction. I implore people, please call the FDA. People are saying to me on my Telegram channel, what's that going to do? They don't listen anyway. You know what? Maybe they're not listening because you're all bitching and moaning on social media and you're not writing to them, emailing them, calling, flooding their systems with your disdain for going after children 5 to 11. Because I'm going to promise you right now, when once the FDA, which is really a department of Pfizer, I keep saying, once they rubber stamp this data today, later on this week, the CDC is going to come out in lockstep and recommend it. And then you're going to start to see mandates, you know, mandate chokeholds come in closer and closer.
Yeah. They're going to do it in your in your kid's school as well. They're going to have, you know, your superintendent and your school board are going to have an emergency meeting and they're going to meet and they're going to say in order for your kid to remain an in-person learning environment that they're going to have to be inoculated.
Absolutely. And Stu, let me call everybody's attention to this another part of this briefing document that's claiming 90% efficacy of this vaccine for 5 to 11 year olds. Does that sound familiar? You know, you're going to see in 6 months, ooh, that vaccine for children, that waned. We're going to need to do a booster for those children. Listen to this. In the very same document, they claim 90% of efficacy in 5 to 11 year olds. They also say, and I quote, the size of the safety database is not large enough to detect any potential risk of myocarditis associated with the vaccine. For this reason, and here's the other joke, Stu, for this reason, the long-term safety trials of the COVID-19 vaccine in 5 to 11 year olds will be done subsequent to the rollout. And I want to also mention there, you know, we have to look to other countries for safety signals, because we certainly can't get them from our own FDA
right,
or the pharma companies. And Ontario, Canada put out the latest data as of October 17th. I've provided this bar graph for your producers. You look at the age groups. You know, I've always said, Stu, the younger you go, the higher the rates of myocarditis and many other very dangerous side effects of these jabs, because the immune system in children is more robust, more reactive already. So you look at these age groups on the bar graph, you see it's 1 in 76,000 in people over 40, 1 in 39,000 in people 25 to 39. And then when you look at 18 to 24, it gets a little bit higher, 1 in 14,000. But Stu, in the 12 to 17 year old group, the rate of myocarditis was 1 in 5,200. When you look at the last bar graph, the implication is you're going to see an exponential and explosively higher rates of heart attacks, strokes, bleeding, myocarditis, permanent cardiac damage in the 5 to 11 group. Please, we've got to stop this insanity. I beg all of you in the public right now, please contact these agencies. Please contact the companies. Tell them you're not going to stand for this. Because it's coming.
I want to go back to where you started here on the first lie. So you mentioned two things and then you said that they were lies. So I want to address why they are lies. So the first one is an unmet need for children between the ages of 5 and 11. You said that that was a lie. Why is it a lie?
Because children, we know there are tons of studies out right now. And I can provide them to your producers, but you've already interviewed a good number of experts that have testified and attested to this. Children don't get it. They rarely get the flu in general, and they're not vectors for it. They're not a danger to society, and they're not dying from it. So there is not an unmet need. And that relates to section 2.2, that there's been a surge in pediatric cases. I'd like to see that. First of all, let's go back to the beginning. The PCR test is a fraud. But even if you believe in the PCR, they've been saying in mainstream media in the last few days, and I wonder what they're setting us up for. But anyway, they've been saying that the numbers of COVID cases are decreasing predominantly across the United States and the world. There is no surge in pediatric cases. I defy anyone to show me the data.
You know, and the mainstream media, as everybody here knows, is not the arbiter of truth. They are liars. And the same thing with the so-called fact checkers. They are paid. They're paid shills for these shots that are being falsely referred to as vaccines that have been proven to be extremely dangerous and in many cases deadly. New information on the ticker just over the weekend, hundreds more permanent disabilities, hundreds more miscarriages, hundreds more deaths. And those are only coming from the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, which we know to be one of the most unreliable and underreported databases out there.
I want to get back to this arrest Fauci thing because there's a reason for it. We are now seeing more and more evidence. We've already seen him lie to Congress. We've already seen the proof. We've seen his emails. Now we're getting information, and we have been getting it over the last few weeks, that this man, when these gain of function, making viruses more dangerous to humans and animals, when this stuff was declared illegal in the United States, not only did he take it to other countries like the Congo, Tunisia, and of course, China, our arch enemy, but he took it with our dollars, without permission. This haughty, arrogant, sinister piece of garbage took this, our money, and then conducted it like he was defiant. I'm going to do it anyway, and conducted these studies. And we now know from a group called White Coat Waste, and we're going to talk more about them as we go forward. But I just want to mention that they came out with a story back in, I think, late August, early September, which has escaped mainstream media, that under Fauci's direction, people say, well, Fauci's name's not on any of it. Of course it's not on. Would he be stupid enough to put his own name on it? No, he's got his teams and his underlings. But they conducted studies, Stu, of beagle dogs, particularly in Tunisia and other African countries where they knew they could get away with it. And what he did was he tortured them. He put them inside of these contraptions where these parasites were eating away at their heads and their faces. We've got photographs. We've seen all kinds of evidence. White Coat Waste has brought out a ton of information. And then he had their vocal cords removed so that they couldn't bark while they were being tortured. I mean, for what purpose, earthly purpose, is this? This shows you the kind of man this guy is, torturing and now getting ready to move this poison into the bodies of our children? No, that's why the hashtag arrest Fauci has been just exploding all over the world. We've had it. And it's not just him. It's obviously his teams, his people, people in the NIH, people in the NIAID. And they're starting to say, you could see in the New York Post from May to October, you can see the change in the headlines, that the national institutes are starting to say, well, yeah, there was a lot of funding, you know, okay, in spite of what Dr. Fauci said, we really did participate and fund that. You know why? Because they know that only the pharmaceutical companies right now are immune from legal liability. The rest of you injecting this stuff, ordering it, doctors, nurses, and these researchers in our national institutes, you're all going to be liable, and you are liable. There's no protection for any of you.
Every single one of these so-called elected representatives that represent the globalist beast system uniparty have all of this information, and yet they do nothing other than grift and ask for donations. These people have subpoena power. These people have the authority to file criminal complaints against Tony Fauci and everybody else who's been complicit in this, but they're not doing it. They're not doing anything, just similar to the way that they're not doing anything from what David Summerall reported on January 6th. There are still people being held in solitary confinement, just like they're not doing anything about this stolen election, the real insurrection, which occurred overnight between November 3rd and 4th in 2020. And they're allowing this to happen. So while you're flooding the FDA, demand that your so-called representatives do something about this. They have the authority to do it. Do not let them tell you that they've done everything that they can. And if they've done everything that they can and they still can't be affected, then get the hell out of there and let me replace you with somebody who can. Dr. Jean Ruby.
Great idea. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com right now to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you can get my premium MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now just $29.98, the lowest price ever.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Well, I know you trust Reuters. I know you trust Yahoo News to bring you all of your financial decision-making information. They say, Carlos, that U.S. Treasury Secretary Yellen says, hyperinflation, no such thing, totally under control here in America. I mean, am I supposed to believe this nonsense?
That is a complete hogwash, in my opinion. Yes, hyperinflation is a real deal. I mean, if that wasn't the case, people wouldn't be buying gold and silver at an all-time high right now. So we have the solution here at my firm. We're very proactive. And we're taking care of patriots, too.
Yeah. Look him up online anytime. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. This guy comes up with solutions. And the best part is he's not a communist. He's an independent fiduciary that can build a custom solution for you. You can call him in the office, too, anytime. 813-448-3446. Or visit him online. Again, that website, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it, maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Go to StuPeters.tv and check an exclusive with Graham Hood from Qantas Airlines. You do not want to miss that. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!